it now looks highly likely that this war in the Middle East will turn to nuclear weapons. It's not even clear who will use them first. I can make an argument for any of the three parties using them first, you know, the U.S., Israel, or Iran. Nevertheless, this podcast isn't really about that directly. It's about the aftermath of that. Because I say that if this war goes nuclear, then in the aftermath of the nuclear fallout, you, listening to this, wherever you are, even North America, you are going to be living under government-run food rationing and fuel rationing orders. And right now, there are, you know, the few remaining Trump supporters seem to be pro-nuclear weapons, like, you nuke them, just nuke them, you know, nuke them and take back the strait. Seemingly having no idea of the repercussions of the use of nuclear weapons. So let's step back for a moment and actually think about this rationally, cause and effect. So let's start with Israel, because, of course, Israel is run by a war criminal lunatic, Netanyahu, and there's no question that he would use nuclear weapons, and there's no question that Israel possesses them, although we don't know their yield sizes. But they are the most likely to use nuclear weapons first. And it wouldn't be just one. It would be multiple nuclear weapons. You know, so many nukes that they would demand that Iran surrender or be nuked even more. Kind of like what the U.S. did to Japan at the end of World War II. Then there's the potential that the U.S. itself may initiate nuclear weapons in the aftermath of thousands of U.S. Marines and Special Forces being slaughtered after they try to land on Iran or to take, you know, Karg Island or some other islands or some other ports or whatever. And even though they can no doubt have a successful landing, you know, we're here, good luck keeping it. And in the subsequent days, they will be massacred. And then in the aftermath of that, you can imagine that, you know, super frat bro Pete Hegseth, he would say, oh, we got to avenge the dead Marines. We have to nuke them now. Nuke them, nuke them. You know, because that's his attitude. He's got the attitude of like a seven-year-old. You know, he's just got no maturity or wisdom or experience or anything. So there's no question in my mind that he would want to nuke Iran in retaliation for America's mistaken invasion and the body count that would no doubt result from that. And then there's Iran itself. Iran itself probably has nuclear weapons, or at least I should say the capability of assembling nuclear weapons. So, for example, they could be handed nuclear warheads by Pakistan or Russia. And even North Korea said that they would help Iran with nuclear weapons. So this is not even conjecture. We already know that Iran has the capability to deliver those nukes to Tel Aviv, as they've been hammering for weeks now, or even on top of, you know, a U.S. aircraft carrier. Or something that I've mentioned actually months ago is that if the U.S. were to stage a ground invasion of Iran, that Iran could potentially nuke its own land where the U.S. soldiers are gathered in order to destroy however many soldiers are there. I mean, I understand that would be a seemingly last-ditch type of tactic, but it's within the realm of possibility, especially if Iran is handed nuclear weapons technology from other ally countries, their allies, like Russia. And then on top of this, it's rumored but not confirmed that Russia has told Israel that if they nuke Iran, that Russia will immediately retaliate and nuke Tel Aviv. Now, again, I don't know if that's true, but it could be. It seems consistent with the fact that both Russia and China have signed on to a mutual statement of defense of Iran, or support of Iran in this fight, because Russia can't really afford for Iran to fall to the West, and neither can China because of the Belt and Road Initiative and the geography of Iran and the shipments of energy through the Strait of Hormuz. I mean, if you think the strait is closed now, just wait until if America were to control the strait, they would block all oil from China. They would sanction the whole world. They would do exactly what Iran is doing now, but the opposite, you know, the inverse. Iran is saying, we'll let ships sail to China and Pakistan and, you know, Russia, but we won't let ships sail to America and the UK and Canada, etc. If the West takes control of the strait, they'll just flip that around and they'll be just as bad. They will only allow ships to go to their allies, right? Because all these arguments of, oh, it should be an open, you know, universal waterway, the whole world should be allowed to use it. Well, that's not the way the U.S. thinks about the Panama Canal or the Suez Canal or, you know, the various waterways around Greenland, you know, or the Strait of Malacca, come to think of it. You know, the U.S. is always about sanctioning countries that it wants to punish. So if it controlled the Strait of Hormuz, the world's energy crisis would only get worse. So China would not allow Iran to fall to the U.S. because China depends on so much energy being exported through that strait. And Russia also, you know, needs it for lots of other reasons, needs Iran to exist. And both China and Russia have nuclear weapons technology. So it's not outside the realm of possibility that they would transfer nuclear weapons or just warheads to Iran. And that just opens up the number of countries that could do this. And all Iran has to do is demonstrate one nuclear detonation in a desert somewhere and just show the world, hey, we are now a nuclear nation. And so Trump, call off your Navy. You have 48 hours or we nuke your ships. And Israel, stop your bombing or we nuke Tel Aviv. And actually that would stabilize the region. That would bring stability. You know, Trump and Hegseth and, you know, the hoard out corporate media like Fox News, they always say, well, if Iran had nuclear weapons, that would be so destabilizing. No, it wouldn't. It would be the most stabilizing thing imaginable because it would stop these insane wars of aggression that keep attacking Iran. It would stop Israel, which is the worst terror state on the planet right now that keeps attacking its neighbors and murdering innocent civilians and bombing hospitals and residential buildings and assassinating engineers and scientists and doctors and using children for target practice and torturing infants and all the things that Israel does routinely over and over again. If we could stop that evil by Iran credibly threatening the use of nuclear weapons as a stabilizing force, then that would be an overall positive thing for the world. And to stop the U.S. from continuing its war of pillaging, where we now have open admissions that all the U.S. wants to do is overthrow the Iranian regime and then pillage and steal the oil resources and the gas resources from that South Pars gas field that's underneath the Persian Gulf. The U.S. is just there for piracy, you know? Murder and pillage, which is what they wanted to do to Russia, but Russia also said no. So Iran having nuclear weapons would be the one way to stop this war and stop further bloodshed. And Iran not having nuclear weapons is an invitation for nukes to be used. But if Iran had nuclear weapons, then it's very unlikely that Israel would use nukes or that the United States would use nuclear weapons. You see what I'm saying? So mutually assured destruction, MAD, is actually a stabilizing stance or posture. It worked in the Cold War. We didn't nuke Russia. Russia didn't nuke us. Why? Because we both knew we could nuke each other and nobody would win. Same thing will be true if Iran has nuclear weapons. It would even save the lives of U.S. Marines, because Trump wouldn't be sending them in to die for Israel on the shores of southern Iran if Iran had nuclear weapons. So, you know, if Iran had nukes, it would save American lives. I mean, that's a reality that very few people are willing to acknowledge. So probably the most stabilizing thing that could be done is for, you know, China or Russia or someone else to give Iran nuclear warheads, and then Iran credibly demonstrate that it has that technology. If that doesn't happen, then I fear we're going to be on this escalation track here where either Israel or the United States nukes Iran. And that could happen very soon. It could happen within days. If that happens, then everything changes. Then we're in a nuclear world war. And it's not just about the atmospheric effects. It's not just about the crop failures that will occur, etc. It's also about the psychological impact of people realizing, you know, holy crap, we're in a nuclear war. A world nuclear war. Because you could bet that Israel's nukes wouldn't be the end of it. That would just be the beginning. You know, at that point, all kinds of nukes could fly all over the world. Russia might decide, well, this is it. Let's, you know, take out the U.S. naval bases in the continental United States or something. Or China might say, well, we need to move on Taiwan now. And in order to do that, we have to nuke, you know, U.S. ships that are sailing in the area. I mean, these are very feasible outcomes. If Israel launches a nuke, it actually unleashes a chain of events that could lead to nuclear weapons being used in many different places. Russia could decide to nuke NATO military bases in Romania, for example, or Poland, or to nuke targets in Ukraine. You know, there's once somebody pulls the trigger and takes this thing nuclear, it spreads quickly. And then we get into a scenario where there are multiple nuclear detonations across the northern hemisphere of planet Earth. That's when we start to get into severe weather effects, cesium-137 radioisotope fallout, plus, you know, iodine-131 fallout, and some other radioisotopes as well. Those aren't the only two, but those are just the two best known. You know, there's also like radioactive strontium and other forms that are falling out following nuclear detonations. Then you start to get the destruction of lands in terms of their agricultural utility. So everywhere that the wind blows and drops cesium-137 on farmlands, you can't farm there for 3 centuries. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what happened, you know, after Chernobyl. That's why you still can't grow food around there. It's not even allowed by the government because there's too much cesium-137 contamination. So you would be talking about potentially large areas of the world being rendered non-usable for food production, including parts of the United States. If nukes go off in the United States, or if the U.S. is targeted, or U.S. military bases are targeted, which is well within the realm of possibility here. We're not the only country that can drop nukes on people, you know, and Pete Hegseth seems to forget that because he's lost in frat boy land, you know. Then you also have the weather effects. It's not just the radiation, it's the ionization of the atmosphere that causes strange weather patterns. And then there's also the ejection of particulate matter, dust from the surface of the Earth, that is ejected high into the stratosphere and sometimes even above that. You know, the giant mushroom cloud. It's very tall. Depends on the yield of the weapon, obviously, depends on lots of things. The condition of the ground underneath it, what's the elevation of detonation, how close to the ground, you know, wind, humidity, all kinds of things. But the bottom line is it would eject particulate matter into the upper atmosphere of Earth, and it would essentially simulate a massive volcanic eruption in terms of the particulate matter that circulates in the Earth's atmosphere for a period of at least 1 year, maybe longer, and depending on how many nuclear weapons are detonated, this would cause what has been called a nuclear winter. Because it would block a percentage of the sun, and it doesn't take much to cause temperatures to plummet worldwide, which causes crop growing seasons to shorten dramatically, and the blocking of the sun cuts off photosynthesis of food crops. And without full photosynthesis, they don't mature correctly. They don't produce the same number of, you know, fruits or vegetables or nuts or whatever they are, because they're weak. They don't have the energy that comes from photosynthesis. They're lacking. They're deficient. They're light deficient. And as a result, the plants grow up, the crops are scrawny, and you don't get the yields. And so even though, let's say farmland in America, let's say if there's no nuke in America, And you might think, well, we could still grow food in America. Not if the sun is dimmed, you know, 3%. Then you have crop failures in North America, especially in Canada, especially in Europe and in higher latitude locations around the world. And you fall into global famine very rapidly under those circumstances. Shorter growing seasons, reduced crop yields, also combined with the fact that we still don't have good fertilizer supplies because of the war that Trump started, which resulted in, you know, Qatar's LNG facilities being partially destroyed with a 3 to 5 year rebuild time for 2 of the 14 natural gas trains. And that could get a lot worse. It also depends on where these nukes are detonated, you know. If they're detonated anywhere near the Persian Gulf, for example, on Karg Island, well, you know, there's 3,000 transport ships sitting right next to it, you know, essentially in the Persian Gulf. I mean, not right next to it, but within a few tens of miles. And you're going to have, you know, radiation fallout and destruction and the mass killing of all the maritime crew of all those ships. And many of those ships will be rendered completely, you know, damaged or useless, electronics fried out because of the EMP effects of the nukes. And those are the ships that haul energy around the world. Half of the LNG tankers that exist on planet Earth are currently stranded in the Persian Gulf, and they would all be damaged or destroyed if somebody uses nuclear weapons in the Gulf or even near the Gulf. You see what I'm saying? And then there's all the oil tankers on top of that. And there are, you know, 1,000 oil tankers or whatever the number is. I think the LNG number is 1,600 LNG ships stuck there right now. So then you could be talking about a multi-decade recovery time to rebuild the ships that currently transport the energy around the world. And during those decades, there'd be a mass die-off. And where there isn't a mass die-off, let's say that, you know, the wealthier nations like the United States, it's very likely that there would be food rationing and fuel rationing. And in the more authoritarian countries like Australia, New Zealand, UK, Canada, etc., you can imagine, you know, wholesale energy lockdowns and food lockdowns. You know, here's your digital food stamp. You only get, you know, so many cups of rice per week, lentils or whatever, one chicken a month, and you're only allowed to buy 1 gallon of fuel a day or something like that, you know? Or you're only allowed to drive on Mondays and Wednesdays, depending on your license plate. That's already beginning in some areas. That's in place in South Korea right now. They've already announced that for government workers. You can't drive on certain days based on your license plate, you know? So this, and we're talking about things that have gone into play here in terms of energy lockdowns before nuclear weapons have been used. Imagine what will happen after nukes are detonated. Here's what I'm thinking. You know, I have a massive warehouse in Central Texas where we manufacture storable, lab-tested organic food. You know this. HealthRangerStore.com if you want to get some. We also sell iodine. And we're already starting to see an uptick of sales, quite a lot of uptick, in food and iodine, those two things in particular. We also have potassium iodide, which is FDA approved. But nascent iodine does the same thing. It's just iodine. You know, I mean, all you need is the iodine. You don't even need the potassium that goes with it. That's just a carrier. But anyway, what will happen the minute there's a nuclear detonation, everybody is going to freaking panic. Our entire inventory will probably be sold out in 24 hours. Like everything we have in stock in terms of food or iodine. Every food can, every bucket, you know, every pouch, everything. It'll be gone. And people will run out and freaking ransack all their local stores everywhere around the world. Oh, and by the way, there's already gas riots in India. I forgot to tell you about that. People are having fights and waiting in line for hours to get fuel in India. That's also coming probably to the Philippines and many other countries because of the rationing. Maybe Thailand, we'll see. Indonesia, I don't know what's going to happen in places like Malaysia, Singapore, you know. Should keep an eye on all that. But people around the world will go out and panic buy or steal whatever supplies they can get. And if you thought that the COVID mad toilet paper dash was crazy, you know, the Costco toilet paper scramble, that's nothing compared to what would happen next. Every grocery store would be wiped out everywhere in the world. Every, you know, Costco, every convenience store, every Walmart, every place that sells food, every place would be wiped out almost overnight. I mean, and this is when you don't want to be out buying food because the crowds would get unruly and panicky and crazy. You don't want to be part of that, right? You want to be all squared away long before that. And of course, people will buy bottled water because for some reason they don't own water filters yet, which seems crazy. It's like, how do you not own a water filter? People will panic buy firearms and ammunition, and you know, for a while they're going to think this is all going Mad Max, and they might not be wrong, you know, depending on the circumstances. And then you're going to see presidents like Trump declare national emergencies and suspend the Constitution, you know, the Bill of Rights. I know it's illegal to do that, but he'll do it anyway because he doesn't abide by the law. Law? He scoffs at that. He'll just say the Constitution's suspended and we're going to have military checkpoints everywhere, and whoever's left in the U.S. military is going to patrol the streets and the cities of America, and we're going to enforce the food rationing and the fuel rationing. Yeah. And so you're going to end up stuck living on whatever you already have or whatever you can grow that your neighbors don't steal from you, if you have those kinds of neighbors. Yeah, right. You're also not going to be able to travel the way you want to because there's going to be checkpoints on all the highways and, you know, fuel shortages and rationing. And this is why I've said the people that will be the most mobile will be those who have electric vehicles that they can recharge with solar panels at home. Although that's a big project. That's a huge project to set all that up, you know, and buy all that, install all that. And it's not something you can do overnight. But some people who have that will have some additional mobility because of that. You know, whole home battery backup systems will come in very handy. With natural gas shortages in place, there might also be rolling blackouts even in the United States, certainly in other countries. A lot of rolling blackouts. You know, you get 6 hours of electricity on and then 6 hours off. And then 6 hours on and 6 hours off again. That kind of thing. Or maybe you get electricity Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and then you can drive on the roads Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. You know, it's like, and I'm sure they'll make it in the most inconvenient way possible. But whatever it is, you're going to live through unbelievable rationing, scarcity, psychological panic, uncertainty, famine, starvation, and death. People losing their minds everywhere. All because Trump wanted to start a war with Iran because influencers told him it would make him popular. Oh, and he wanted to appease, you know, the Satanist Netanyahu. So Trump is in the process of destroying the world as we know it. And if this goes nuclear, then that takes the destruction to another whole level of long-term Mad Max ramifications, Mad Max scenarios, basically. People hoarding fuel, trying to survive on food, you know, creating their own local governments, you know, their own encampments because, you know, for their protection, etc. That's where this actually goes. Even in the United States. And yes, especially in Australia, you know. and a lot of other places as well. That's where this goes. Our world doesn't function without the Strait of Hormuz. And Trump made sure that the Strait got closed. He made sure of it, almost like he wanted this. He wanted a big global emergency so that he could, I don't know, end the Constitution, make himself a dictator or something. Or he just got bad advice from all the lunatics around him, whatever the case may be. We're in it now, and there's a high probability that this goes nuclear. And I should remind you, by the way, if this goes nuclear, Russia has more nuclear weapons than the United States, I believe. You could fact check that, but even regardless of the numbers, Russia has by far the most advanced nuclear weapons delivery technology, such as multiple MIRV, you know, reentry vehicles and hyperglide vehicles that can maneuver. And so there is zero probability that the U.S. will intercept incoming nuclear weapons if the U.S. is targeted by Russia. Russia can put nukes on Iskanders. They can put nukes on their hypersonic missiles, like the Kinzhal missiles. They, you know, Russia can nuke U.S. aircraft carriers easily. I mean, that's in their wheelhouse. They've already shown that capability. And Russia has Oreshnik missile systems, which are non-nuclear but highly damaging kinetic attacks that come out of the sky at like Mach 20 or something. So forget it. You don't even see it. It just looks like a bolt of lightning out of the sky. Like the gods are angry and they're unleashing thunder. You know, no, that's Russia. Like that's what it's going to look like. And so this is where all this seems to be headed, because Trump isn't backing down because he's got too big of an ego. He's too childish of a personality. He can't take a loss. Netanyahu's not backing down because he believes in this, you know, apocalypse, end times, like we got to destroy the whole world type of thing. And then, you know, the Zionists around him think that God is going to come save them. No, he won't. Because God doesn't save Satanists, for one thing. And then, you know, Iran is in an existential crisis where it has to defend itself. I mean, this is one of the greatest threats to Persia in the history of the Persian civilization. And now, by the way, Iran or Persia has survived many other incursions and attempts to overthrow the civilization throughout world history. And every one of them has failed. And this one will fail too, by the way. America will fail. Israel will fail. But Persia, or modern-day Iran, may have to resort to using nuclear weapons as a last-ditch effort to stop the aggressors. And if they do, then, you know, it sets off this chain of events that I've been talking about here. So if anybody uses a nuke, then everybody starts nuking. And then we are all effed in terms of food crops for at least a year, maybe two, maybe three centuries if you're downwind from the fallout and you get the cesium-137 on your crops. Not good. Not good. You may recall that I'm an inventor of a method for removing cesium-137 from your digestive tract. And that is approved by the U.S. Patent Office years ago, and that's called cesium eliminator. And I might as well mention I'm sitting on, 10 pallets of this material. It's in a warehouse in Central Texas. I've been waiting for a nuclear war, for real, you know, to donate this to help people survive fallout. And the material is actually quite cheap to acquire. So years ago, I just bought 10 extra pallets, and it has an unlimited shelf life. So it's just been sitting there in these pallets. I haven't even seen it in years. I haven't even been in that building. I assume it's all still there, but how much you want to bet that in the middle of a nuclear war, nobody will even bother to ask me for any other than, you know, you listening to this, But how much you want to bet? Like, no government, no emergency response, no, like, the governor of Texas, no, nobody will reach out because they don't want help from someone like me who knew all this was coming and built solutions to help humanity and to help end human suffering and save lives. They have no interest in that because they're all satanic Zionist warmongers. They want suffering and death, you understand? They want mass death. It's a ritual, you know, to Moloch. That's seriously what this is. So I don't suppose I'll ever have an opportunity to donate my 10 pallets of cesium eliminator to anybody, although I'm willing to if somebody's interested, if this thing goes nuclear. But we'll see. I'll keep you posted on that. And by the way, cesium eliminator, it removes over 99.9% of the cesium-137 from your digestive tract. So you can eat radioactive food and water contaminated with cesium, and it binds with it. And when you have a bowel movement, it's eliminated out of your body, you know, because it binds it up in your digestive tract. Now, yes, you're still irradiated during the time it's in your digestive tract. But you can also, drink some milk of magnesia or whatever. You know, you can give yourself diarrhea to get rid of it faster and get it out of your system and reduce your level of exposure. You know, there's a number of methods to do that. So, yeah, I didn't realize we were going to go there, but that's just a medical fact. It's better to just not start nuclear wars in the first place, and then we don't have to worry about these details. Just how about that? How about if we had a president that wasn't Netanyahu's little bitch and a Zionist warmongering lunatic, then we wouldn't have to worry about these problems. But unfortunately, that's already gone. I mean, we've already crossed that threshold. So here we are. All right. So, look, in terms of my company and my warehouse, we are ordering food like mad right now. And we're successful at it. So that's great news because the food supply chain hasn't yet been gutted. So, you know, I told my staff when this whole thing started with Iran, I told my staff, you know, you just start ordering everything you can. Just put all the cash into the food because people are going to need it. Even if we overbuy, you know, I don't care. Just fill the warehouse with, you know, clean, organic, lab-tested food. Believe me, people will need it. Okay, so that's what I said. And they've been able to order it so far. You know, a lot of lots are coming in on the way. Some of them take 60 days, some of them take 90 days, etc. So there's a pretty good chance that we will have inventory through the summer at this point. But for the fall, I don't know. It really depends on what happens between now and then. I just don't know. I don't have to tell you, you know, most of you are already pretty well prepped. If you want to get more food, obviously you can get it from us. If you think you need more, or if you need iodine, etc. If you think you're squared away, then focus on gardening and growing food. Or find out some other weakness in your preparedness plans. One of the things that you can do is you can go to my AI engine, brightanswers.ai, and you can tell it your current preparedness status and ask it for where your plan is weak or what you need to shore up. Now, it doesn't know who you are, by the way. I mean, it doesn't know your name. It doesn't know your IP address or, you know, your location or anything like that. Doesn't know your credit card number, whatever. There is email registration required, so it does potentially know your email address, but just use, you know, use like an email alias or something. You know, protect your privacy, right? Not that our engine is any danger to you, but I always think it's good to protect your privacy. So you can go there and you can have it give you plans, you know, to shore up your current situation. And then you can download audiobooks and PDF books, of course, from brightlearn.ai, or technically books.brightlearn.ai. And I encourage you to do that because they're all free to download and you can get the files locally. So take advantage of those free resources. Stock up food, you know, do gardening, get yourself squared away, emergency medicine, backup communications, you know, Satellite Phone Store is our sponsor in that space, SAT123.com. So check that out, get their gear, and, you know, you'll make it through this. You'll make it through even a nuclear war. And then one day you can wear a t-shirt that says, I survived nuclear World War III and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. Well, surviving nuclear world war is a pretty big deal. And you can survive it. There's no question that you can survive it. You know, unless you get hit directly with a nuke, but that's unlikely. So yeah, we can survive it, but billions probably won't. All right, so thank you for listening. You can catch more of my interviews and analysis podcast at brightvideos.com, or you can read my articles at naturalnews.com. And thank you for listening. God bless you all. Take care. Yes, the world is getting crazy, but here at the Health Ranger store, we're putting together a survival supply assortment for you. If you go to healthrangerstore.com/survival, you'll see what we put together for you, including iodine and Iosat. That's a specific brand name of potassium iodide that's FDA approved. Or we have the nascent iodine here, which is less expensive in terms of the iodine that you get. These are available in case things go nuclear. It's clear that you will not be able to find any of this for sale anywhere. All the inventories will be wiped out, like what happened after Fukushima in 2011. So if you want to get your hands on some iodine, this is a chance to get it right now. HealthRangerStore.com/survival. In addition, we have many other survival items for you here, including some silver solutions, some spirulina available in bulk and at a discount, and then a large assortment of storable organic food that's laboratory tested, including our Ranger Bucket sets. Here's a 195-day supply. We've got the mini buckets, and we've also got number 10 cans available of freeze-dried fruits and vegetables and other things like miso soup powder. Here's some of the buckets. There's a big variety available. Here are some of the number 10 cans right here. Remember, a lot of people are missing fruit. They don't have enough vitamin C in their storable food. So, you know, getting bananas and pineapples and strawberries, especially, again, certified organic, freeze-dried. That is the highest quality with the highest nutrient preservation that you can get in any kind of a storable food format. All of this is available right now and so much more. Just go to healthrangerstore.com/survival. And because the freeze-dried foods last for so long, you know, even if you don't eat them this year or next year, just keep them on the shelf. They're going to last a very long time with good preservation, a long shelf life, and they will have value no matter what happens in the world. Now, of course, I'm praying for peace. I'm praying for de-escalation. I don't want to see World War III break out, and I certainly don't want it to go nuclear. But we're dealing with insane times and insane leaders and insane situations. Who knows what could happen tomorrow or next week? Disruptions could happen here in the United States. There could be, you know, domestic attacks that disrupt supply chains here in the U.S. So stock up early, stock up now, get your emergency food, emergency medicine, iodine, anything else that you think that you might need. Get it now. And by doing so, by shopping with us, you'll be supporting our platforms and our AI engines that we offer for free. That's funded in part by sales from our store. So shop with us at healthrangerstore.com/survival and help yourself get prepared and also help us bring you more free tools and platforms that can keep you informed no matter what happens in the world. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for your support. God bless you all. Take care.